In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The very end of the gospel, that the last one I read today, said, not a hair of your head shall perish. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? What are we celebrating today? The new martyrs and confessors of Russia. A lot of hairs on their head perished, didn't they? They were put in prison. They were tortured. They were thrown down mine shafts. They were beheaded. They were shot. They were strangled. So what does the gospel mean? You have to know how to read the gospel. You have to understand what it's talking about. Not a hair on your head will perish if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you live according to this belief. Not if you just say you believe it. But if you actually have Jesus Christ in your heart. Because then, no matter what happens in this life, in the next, shall we say, you'll have all of your hair. No hair will perish. I don't mean to make it sound funny or anything. But in this life, there is tribulation. There's difficulty. Terrible difficulties. I was listening to the canon last night, and I even read it again this morning as part of my preparation prayers. It's pretty amazing, some of the things these people went through. Incredible privations, incredible tortures. Sometimes for years, they were tortured. What made them continue? What made them overcome? You best find out, because this kind of thing might be coming to us. I think it will be. And that's why I'm speaking more and more apocalyptically. Our society is just a house of cards. We certainly are not a stronger society morally than Russia was at the time of the revolution. By no means are we stronger than they are, than they were. And they just fell apart. Millions upon millions were killed, tormented. And so that could happen here. We see the signs. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to prognosticate. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you should see that our society is becoming less free. But what do you do about it? I mean, you can post a meme on Facebook about it. That's not going to do a whole lot. You can talk with others that are similar to you in your politics and et cetera, and they'll agree with you. You can argue with people that don't agree with you. What are you really going to do that's really going to affect you? I would say that we should do what these saints, these confessors and martyrs of Russia did, and I will read a few of their of the lines from the canon. It's one of my sort of, shall we say, a hobby that I love to read the services and copy things out from them. I do it all the time. I think all of you should be doing it. They're all available, readily available. Everybody could have read the canon last night because it gets emailed to me every weekend, whatever the service is going to be. And you're fully capable of getting that email as well. So let's talk first about the passage from Romans that is for these martyrs and confessors. And let's see how we measure up. Let's see what kind of lives we lead. Can we consider ourselves to be these kind of people? Or do we say, we're not like this at all? Well, if you don't think you're like this at all, you can become like this. You can become a confessor. Whether or not you actually are tormented or put in prison or killed, I don't know. God knows. But you must be a confessor the way you live your life. One of the big problems, I think, of life in general, modern life or ancient life, is people are lazy. People live just thinking of today. And the thing about nowadays is that we have so many things to facilitate our laziness and our boredom and our distraction that we're not present in the past. We're the same kind of people as those in the past, but we have more temptations. And it's really important for us to be focused as Christians, living as true Christians. That's why I tell you to do prostrations all the time. Every single one of you should be doing prostrations every day. Even the babies, even the little ones. Because they can be learning then to do prostrations. You must pray with effort. Because hard times are coming. You can see them coming. You can see the clouds on the horizon. And the rain is going to come. Will you be ready? So let's see what St. Paul says in the selection from Romans today. Really, it's amazing words. It's among my favorite in all of the Gospels and the epistles. And St. Paul often is just so tough to understand. Here he's crystal clear, very easy to understand. So he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? You have to live it to believe it. You have to give up yourself to believe it. You have to give up your life, deny your life, and take up your cross. And then you'll understand what this means. All things do work together to good, even the bad things. If you love God, and if you live according to his purpose. That's one of the reasons why I talk to you all the time about our purpose. We must live according to our purpose. We were made to know God. So that means we must become like him. That's our purpose. And nobody can stop us from that except for one person. The person that we see in the mirror in the morning. That person can stop us from our purpose. But nobody else. No torture, no government interference, no problems with family, no anything can stop us, just ourselves. So he goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. This is what's happening to you today. This is what should be happening to you all of your life. You're being conformed to the image of the Son of God. You're becoming like God. No matter what else happens in the world, this is your goal. And this should be your joy above all other things. He goes on after saying a few more things. If God be with us, who can be against us? Would you be able to say that when you're rotting in a prison? When you're cold? When you're hungry? When your job has been taken from you because of your beliefs? There's even noise about that children could be taken away from parents if they have certain viewpoints. Will you still be saying that if God be with us, who can be against us? If you understand the scriptures, you can say it. The only way to understand the scriptures is to live it. He goes on to say, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe this? If you don't live it, you can't believe it. If you're not struggling to say your prayers, you can't believe this. If you're not struggling to love your brother and your enemy and the person you don't like and the person that messes with you and the person that's unfair to you and the politics that are terrible and everything else, if you don't struggle to love, then you cannot understand this. If you're not prostrating yourself before God saying, God save me, God save my loved ones, then you can't know this. You can't understand it. And indeed, it won't be true for you because you will be separated. You'll be separated because of your own sins, because of your own indifference. We must not be indifferent people. We must feel things deeply, and we must believe things and act on things deeply. That's what the martyrs did, the martyrs and confessors. Do you understand that these martyrs and confessors, although they are numerous, some people think there were 20 million, even though they're so numerous, they're dwarfed in numbers by the people who capitulated, by the people who got by the people who turned in their brother and their sister and their mother and their uncle and their co-worker, by the people who joined the party, by the people who put their icons away, by the people who didn't even speak of God in the house for fear there would be a spy. They're outnumbered by those people, by a large margin. Most people in Russia capitulated, just as most people in America will capitulate. An even higher percentage of people will capitulate in America. So we must live in a certain way. Let me show you some things from the hymns last night. And let me again sort of give you an advertisement, shall we say. You should be getting these services and reading them. You should be an expert in the services. You should know all of the resurrectional services. You should read the vigil for the night before the service. You could read it the night before. You could read it the 2 days before. Usually Father David sends it out a couple days in advance. So there was a priest, Alexis, and there's a sessional hymn about him. This is a hymn in between some parts of the canon. The priest Alexis of peasant stock, like an elderly prophetess Anna, of his own will accepted death instead of a young pastor who was his fellow prisoner. Glory to him who gave to so many priests strength against the godless. Do you believe that this man who gave himself up instead of another priest and was killed, was that strength against the godless? When he was marched out probably into the snow and shot in the head and thrown into a hastily prepared grave, is that strength against the godless? Absolutely. It's when we overcome our own human fear and our own human desires for love. That's strength against the godless. I want to tell you a story that I just heard. I think it just happened. Well, it happened January 13th. It's a contemporary story. It happened in Louisiana. It's a terrible story, but also, just like this, in many ways beautiful. It shows what love can do. A mother had her daughter raped by her brother. He was going to go to trial for this. He contracted with hitmen to kill this girl. And the mother was 34 when she died, so the girl must have been pretty young. And when the hitmen came to the house, the mother, when asked for the daughter was asked for by name, and the hitmen hadn't seen the daughter evidently. And she said, "I'm her." So she was killed while her daughter and a friend hid in the house. She gave up her life for her daughter. She knew she was going to be killed. Men with guns saying, "Where is she?" And she said she was her daughter. She gave up her life for her daughter. May she find paradise because of this. That's just like this priest did. Will you give up your life for someone? Are you ready to do that? You should be doing it today and tomorrow. Not because a man with a gun comes to your house, but because you give up your life for others out of love for them. It doesn't have to be martyrdom in terms of blood. It means to be martyrdom in terms of witness. That's what martyrdom means, witness. So we are to witness our love, show our love to Christ by giving up our lives for others. Can you imagine literally saying, "I'm her," knowing you're going to be killed that moment for the love of your daughter? Now, of course, the daughter's name was not given in the news because she's a minor. I would like to know her name because I'd like to pray for her. Now she has a dead mother, and she was in the house when that happened. Plus, of course, she was raped by her brother, or the mother's brother. People do extraordinary things sometimes. Can you do extraordinary things? I'll tell you another extraordinary thing, just amazing to me, just incredible to me. Every time the canon is said, I'll be honest with you, I don't hear all of it. Sometimes, you know, the chanting's not completely distinct, and sometimes, you know, your mind wanders a little bit, right? Mine does. But I always hear this one, crystal clear. the life of Damascene, moveth to compunction all who read it. How he was on the islands of Solovki and Kazakhstan and the lands of Siberia, ascending his own Golgotha. How on the bank of a river, while tormented by the cold of Siberia, he gave his own outer riasa to a priest who had none. And he himself surrendered his spirit on a raft in the cold of winter, one of those whom the whole world is not worthy. Put yourself in his place. In Siberia, maybe 20 or 30 degrees below zero. Incredibly cold. Giving away your outer garment to someone who had none. And then evidently he must have been, I don't know his story. Somehow he must have been on a raft. Maybe they put him on a raft so that he would just float out in the river and drown or freeze to death. Freezing to death is very, very painful. And it takes a while to freeze to death. Damascene gave up his life for Christ. Did any hairs of his head perish? Do you think so? He's in paradise now. Because he loved with supernatural love. Now his body is not supernatural. His body couldn't take what was given to it. But his heart could not be conquered. I have told you, many of you before, I pray to many martyrs every single day with a prostration, especially the ones that have apostatized and then come back to the faith, like Timothy of Espigmenu and James the Persian, and there's many, many others, and also secret Christians. There were a lot of secret Christians who eventually either confessed or were found out, and then they were martyred. That might be someone like you. Maybe you're a little afraid to speak of your faith. Maybe you're afraid of what could happen to you. That's why we need to pray to these saints. We need to ask them for strength. And certainly all of the new martyrs and confessors of Russia, we should pray to them all collectively for strength. And one of the hymns speaks of that. Ye have been shown to be heirs of Eden, most sweet, O ye new martyrs of the land of Russia. Blessed are ye, for your weeping hath found solace in heaven. Ye thirsted after righteousness, and therewith ye are now abundantly satisfied in the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes on, another one says right after that, O favored ones of God, who in these dreadful days have suffered in the Russian land, ye renowned and unknown alike, monks and nuns, men, women, children, strengthen us by your prayers, that the way may be made straight before the Lord for us who commemorate your struggle. Are you ready to do that? If you're not, then you can get ready. You can become more intense in your prayer, more careful in your prayer, more vehement. With the Jesus prayer, with the prostrations, with saying the Psalter, the praying for those that you know. And then you'll be prepared then. You'll be ready for sure. And you will be more than a conqueror, and not a hair of your head will perish. And what's more, if you can pray with zeal, then those you love will not perish, because God will hear your prayers for them. And also you're beseeching the martyrs to pray for them. We need to do this. This age is different now. Things are different. And things are going to become harder. So if you are just a partial Christian, if you pray some, if you fast some, etc., etc., if you give in to things that you want to do and pleasures of the flesh, you might be completely lost when you are tested. So you have to be ready for the test. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to make you understand how beautiful it is to have a heart that loves God so much that you would give your coat to someone when you're cold, or that you would pretend to be another person so that that person would live and you would die. It's a beautiful thing to be a Christian. It's a beautiful thing to have a heart that loves God so much, but it takes work to do that. It's not something that just happens because you're baptized, because you know a few things, because you say a few prayers. We must be ready. Now, to some who hear this, they'll be frightened and they'll just think this is very negative. I don't think a word I said today is negative, because I'm speaking of the love of God completely possessing a person. There's nothing negative about that. That's life. So struggle to have the love of God possess you. Struggle in your prayers a little bit more. Do a few more prostrations. Say the Psalter, because the Psalter is all about this kind of stuff. It's all about everything in life and the solution to it. Come to the church services more often. Get on the email list that I told you about. I'll tell you how to do it, and read these services. And then God will comfort you, and you'll be in the palm of His hand. And no matter what happens to you, whether it's just, you know, some minor difficulties or if it's something terrible, God will not abandon you. You will indeed be a conqueror. May God bless us. May God help us. Through the prayers of these great confessors and martyrs, may we have love for God in our hearts, such that we could also be confessors and martyrs. God bless you.